Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28, which is about Lord Kapila's instructions on devotional service. And we are reading this morning verse 30. Yach tri niketam alibhe parisevyamana bhutya swaya kutila kuntala vrinda joshtam mina dvayashraya adikshipad abja netra dhyaye manomaya atandrita ulasa bro yach tri niketam alibhi parisevya manam bhutya swaya kutila kuntala vrinda joshtam mina dvaya shrayam adikshipad abjanetram Jayen mano mayama tandrita ola sadbro. Yach tri niketam alibhi parisevya manam. Bhutya swaya kutila kunta tala vrinda joshtam. Kutila kuntala vrinda joshtam. Mina dvaya shrayam adikshipad abjanetram. Mina dvaya shrayam adikshipad abjanetram. Jayen mano mayama tandrita ola sadbro. Yach tri niketam alibhi parisevya manam. Bhutya swaya kutila kuntala vrinda joshtam. Mina dvaya shrayam adikshipad abjanetram. Jayen mano mayama tandrita ola sadbro. Jayen mano mayama tandrita ola sadbro.
Yasri niketam alibhi parisevyamanam.
Yasri niketam alibhi parisevyamanam.
Bhutya swaya kutila kuntala vrinda joshtam.
Bhutya swaya kutila kuntala vrinda joshtam.
Mina dvaya swayam aditya padabdha netram.
Mina dvaya swayam aditya padabdha netram.
Dhyayen mano mayamati mrita ullasadbro.
Dhyayen mano mayamati mrita ullasadbro.
What a chance. Yet, which face of the Lord, Shri Niketa, a lotus, alibhi, by bees, parisevya manam, surrounded, bhutya, by elegance, swaya, its, kutila, curly, kuntala, of hair, vrinda, by a multitude, jushta, adorned, mina, of fish, dvaya, appear, ashraya, dwelling, Adikshipat, putting to shame, Abja, a lotus, Netram, having eyes, Dhyayet, one should meditate on, Manahmayam, formed in the mind, Atandrita, attentive, Ulasat, dancing, bro, having eyebrows. Excuse me. Translation. The yogi then meditates upon the beautiful face of the Lord, which is adorned with curly hair and decorated by lotus-like eyes and dancing eyebrows, a lotus surrounded by swarming bees and a pair of swimming fish, would be put to shame by its elegance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One important statement here is Jayen Manomayam. Manomayam is not imagination. Impersonalists think that the yogi can imagine any form he likes, but, as stated here, the yogi must meditate upon the form of the Lord which is experienced by devotees. Devotees never imagine a form of the Lord. They are not satisfied by anything imaginary. The Lord has different eternal forms. Each devotee likes a particular form and thus engages himself in the service of that form. In the service of the Lord by worshipping that form. The Lord's form is depicted in different ways according to scriptures. As already discussed, there are eight kinds of representations of the original form of the Lord. These representations can be produced by the use of clay, stone, wood, paint, sand, etc., depending on the resources of the devotee. Manomayam is a carving of the form of the Lord within the mind. This is included as one of the eight different carvings of the form of the Lord. It is not imagination. Meditation on the actual form of the Lord may be manifested in different manners, but one should not conclude that one has to imagine a form. There are two comparisons in this verse. First, the Lord's face is compared to a lotus, and then his black hair is compared to humming bees swarming around the lotus, and his two eyes are compared to two fish swimming about. A lotus flower on the water is very beautiful when surrounded by humming bees and fish. The Lord's face is self-sufficient and complete. His beauty defies the natural beauty of a lotus. Amazing. Yachtri niketamalibi parasev yamanam. Bhutya swaya kutila kuntala vrinda jushtam. Me na dvayashrayam adikshipad abjanetram. Jayen mano mayama tandrita ulasad bro. The yogi then meditates upon the beautiful face of the Lord, which is adorned with curly hair and decorated by lotus-like eyes and dancing eyebrows. A lotus surrounded by swarming bees and a pair of swimming fish would be put to shame by its elegance. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, devotees.
They're saying there's a double stream on the Lithuanian Facebook. One is streaming directly from Guru Maharaj.
I know. Things got into such a. Well, then we have to end the stream, the whole stream for everyone. And go back in, which is not easy. Excuse me, devotees. Oh, wait. so excuse me. You know, it's this, all this back and forth, you know, it's just. So, devotees, a very beautiful description of the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Really, very amazing description, actually. And it's coming, you could say, coming to its climax now. With the beautiful face of the Lord. Everything about the Lord is extremely beautiful. Even just his feet. The feet of a regular person in this material world. The feet are not taken very seriously as being something very attractive. In fact, feet are normally not appreciated. So, having traveled on aeroplanes excessively, really excessively, occasionally it happens, someone takes their shoes off. And I mean, many times other people around express dissatisfaction. Let us not get into that too much, but let us just say that I think it's understood that amongst materialistic people, the feet are not, at best, they're nothing special at all. And at worst, they're really, at worst, they're the worst, or just about. So, but when it comes to the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, every part is just so wonderful, just amazingly wonderful. Every part, including the feet, are just amazing. There are verses, there are statements which make the point that if someone just gets just one little flash of a ray of light reflected from one of the toenails of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just a little glimpse, a little shaft of light from one of the toenails, that's the most wonderful thing compared to whatever else they may have experienced. Just completely in a class of its own. So if the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are just so wonderful and glorious and worshipable. And as Lord Chaitanya said, if we can just become one speck of dust under the one of the feet of the Lord, it's the perfection of life. So if that's the case with the feet, then what to speak of the smiling face? Yes, it's just, by material standards, we cannot really begin to do justice in terms of trying to give some description which might convey to the audience some, you know, like really substantial idea, really like an accurate idea which conveys what the face of the Lord is about, so that people would really understand. And then when they saw the face, having heard about the face in such wonderful ways, then when they saw the Lord, then they would feel, yes, this is what I heard described. It's not possible, even for the greatest poet. Yamunacharya makes the point in Stotra Ratna that if the greatest poet, you know, in the Western world, whoever that might be, some classic like Shakespeare, Keats, Shelley, or these types of people, if some classic poet, the best, tried to describe the Lord, even for hundreds of years, and he says even for millions of years, he could not begin to really convey the picture of the actual face of the Lord appropriately. It's just, yeah, it's just beyond the scope of expression on the material platform, the scope of appreciation like this. And the feet are like that, and the face of the Lord, well, one would have to see the face of the Lord. Otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, any attempt by imagination, it must fall well short. It must fall a very long way short. We cannot really appreciate how long a way, but a very long way. And therefore, we mentioned the other day that, and from time to time we mention, how when Lord Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago, how when he was moving in public from time to time, people would see him, and even big warriors would see him, who are very, you know... You know, if we may say, beauty, and that's in that sense. You know, it's one thing for a man to be handsome, but to say that a man is beautiful, in at least our normal, as far as I could say, our normal understanding of what the idea of beauty means, then men would not really be called beautiful. Women can be called, are called beautiful, at least some, but men, you don't really find the use of the word beauty. Like I said, handsome, that's all right. But beauty, that's generally considered something, you know, must be, at least amongst people, is something feminine. But Krishna was so beautiful. So beautiful that even when big, strong men, and big, strong men are normally not thought to be, you know, sort of on the effeminate side, but when big, strong men saw Krishna, even some big kshatriyas sitting on their elephants or horses, they would become just so mesmerized by the beauty. His beauty made the most beautiful lady, exquisitely beautiful, if we want to put it that way, look just like, sometimes we say, like an ugly duckling, or just plain, just, you know. I think you get the idea. And they would fall. They would become so mesmerized they'd fall onto the ground. So, yes, we're talking about something which in ordinary terms can be truly called otherworldly. and Lord Kapila has been giving a brief, it's a very brief description. For example, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami in one of his books, in one of his books, it's a drama actually. He has Lord Krishna giving a description of Srimati Radharani and her beauty and charging her a tax for every part of her beauty, otherwise they won't let her go past. And that description is considerably more extensive, and this is of Radharani's beauty, than this description that Lord Kapila has given of Lord Krishna's beauty. But as we were saying, there's no question of imagining that, well, the Lord could look like this, or he could look like that, or he could look like something else, meaning very, very beautiful, because we have no standard within this world, we have no experience within this world of anything that even vaguely approaches that standard of beauty. And therefore, because it's extremely difficult, if you yourself have to describe something that you have not witnessed or even really heard about accurately, for you to describe it, you can't do it. So the Lord's beauty here is compared to certain things in this particular verse. His eyes are lotus-like. His eyebrows are dancing. And the face, just the face in general, Lord Kapila says that a lotus which is the most beautiful flower, this is the general understanding, a lotus surrounded by swarming bees and a pair of swimming fish would be put to shame by the elegance of the face of the Lord. So, anyway, we must carry on practicing. We must carry on practicing. And then, in due course, Hare Krishna, in due course, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, then we can only pray, but in due course, according to what Prabhupada said, we will actually get that darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in that way be able to appreciate the standard of beauty, which at this point is more or less incomprehensible. Just like at the end of Madhuri Kadamani of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains the realization of the Lord, which comes to a devotee when they come to the level of prema. So he realizes, he doesn't just realize the Lord. First of all, he may realize the fragrance of the Lord. Just the fragrance. We will not talk about material fragrances, particularly of material bodies, you know, just as they are. But the fragrance of the Lord for that devotee on the level of prema is so amazing that the devotee faints just by the fragrance. And then the devotee hears the voice of the Lord, and then the devotee faints again, hasn't even seen the Lord yet, and then the Lord in some subtle way touches the devotee, and the touch of the Lord makes the devotee faint again. Still the devotee has not seen the form of the Lord. What can you say? It's just... And then the devotee sees the form of the Lord along with the other experiences. And then the Lord floods the devotee with the Kripa Shakti, and the devotee faints again. So, well, anyway, it's nice to consider these things as far as we're capable, because they can give us some inspiration that we must carry on, and what is coming. That we are, it's sort of like we're standing on the edge of an ocean, and we're not, we are contacting the ocean, because we're practicing. We're practicing Krishna consciousness. So it's not like we're just totally devoid of any awareness, consciousness of the Lord. But still, it's like we've just started entering the ocean. It's not like we've really gone in and we're bathing and just swimming and even drowning in the ocean of nectar of Krishna Prema, the ocean of nectar of the personal association of the Lord face to face. But still, we have something. And something is definitely a lot better than nothing. So, therefore, when Lord Kapila, the point here is that, at least for these yogis who are doing Sankhya Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, some sort of, you know, hybrid form of yoga, combination, the discussion has been about, of course it's been applied to our doing deity worship and in that way actually directly experiencing a form of the Lord or forms of the Lord. But these people, they're not seeing in that sense the form of the Lord. It's an internal process of meditation. But a point being made here is that the devotee must, the yogi, this Lord Kapila's type of yogi, must meditate upon the form of the Lord which is experienced by devotees. It must be real. Actually bona fide, some bona fide, a meditation on some bona fide conception of the Lord, even though it's internal. Yes. So therefore, well, either they've had some very high realization already, or they have actually seen the Lord in the deity form, more likely, or even actually seen the form direct of the Lord directly, seen the Lord directly. But it must be real. Otherwise, if it's just imagination, that, well, maybe like this, and oh, I heard something like that, and in this way, sort of, you know, cooking up somehow some form of the Lord internally in the mind's eye, the possibility, the danger of misconception is too great. It's just too great. Because, as we said, to conceive of something you actually have no experience of, to conceive of it accurately, how are you going to do it? Especially something which is way beyond your experience. You can't do it. And therefore I've seen personally with my own eyes, in other, you know, processes, attempts at God consciousness in ways other than Krishna consciousness, sometimes they try to portray the Lord, and sometimes the portrayal is that he's very old, like extremely old, sitting on a cloud playing a harp. In some cases, it's just, well, when I saw a huge throne, really gigantic, with some person sitting on it, obviously an extremely big, like including very heavily built person. But you can see there's some vague, very vague outline in certain areas. Actually, it's it reminded me to some degree of the last verses of Ishapanishad, which we were just studying, where the devotee, the personified Vedas, they're seeing the Lord, but the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of the form of the Lord, is just dominating the scene. So they cannot actually see the form. And they're praying to the Lord, please let us see through the Brahma Jyoti and see your actual form. Mm. So this is manomayam, as Prabhupada says. Manomayam is a type of form, even deity form of the Lord. Prabhupada mentions deities can be made from clay, stone, wood, paint, sand, etc. etc. includes within the mind. There are eight types of forms of the Lord in terms of what they're composed of. So manomayam is one of them. And as Prabhupada says, this is a carving. Manomayam is a carving of the form of the Lord within the mind. A carving of the form of the Lord within the mind. And it's one of the eight sort of standard types of forms of the Lord in terms of composition. Yes, so these people then that Lord Kapila Dev is talking about, they, in order to do this meditation which has been described, they must have had some real experience of the Lord, like seeing deity forms, or perhaps having had some realization. Yeah. For ourselves, of course, this is talking about the deity forms of the Lord. We have here Sri Sri Radha Radhanath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Giri Govardhan, and this is our meditation. We must remember these forms of the Lord and pray to them for their mercy. Although, you know, of course, our appreciation of the deity forms of the Lord is greater than the appreciation of particularly like real non-devotees. When they see deity forms, sometimes they just discount them as being of no consequence at all. For the devotees, the practicing devotees, the deity forms they're very beautiful, of great consequence, and very dear to the hearts of the devotees. But in due course, if we continue to practice nicely, then our appreciation of the deity forms of the Lord will increase and increase and increase. And yes, until we actually see the deity form of the Lord in these types of terms as being stunningly beautiful, absolutely stunningly beautiful. So keep practicing and praying for mercy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.